Today, President Trump tweeted out that he'd strongly consider supplying written testimony to the House committee holding the impeachment inquiry, a tweet that was in response to Nancy Pelosi's comment on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday that he was free to do just that. Meanwhile, we head into week two of public hearings. The marquee event is Wednesday, when Gordon Sondland, U.S. ambassador to the EU and Trump's self-proclaimed point person in talking to Ukraine about trading aid for investigations. New reporting from the Wall Street Journal says he kept others in the administration up to date on those talks. Testifying tomorrow, two officials who were on the July 25th phone call between the president and his counterpart in Ukraine, and two officials Republicans have called for. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis joins us from Capitol Hill. And Susan, start with, you know, over the weekend, the president tweeting an attack on Jennifer Williams, who's testifying tomorrow. He called her Mike Pence aide, a never-Trumper. She did say in closed-door testimony she was disturbed by that July 25th phone call. But she's more than a Pence aide. She's with the State Department. Does this complicate things for Republicans trying to defend the president? Are they also willing to throw the State Department, you know, under the bus?
Well, Mike Pence's office has made clear that she is a State Department employee, and they are technically correct. She's a career Foreign Service officer. She is an expert on Russia and Europe policy, and she is a detailee to Vice President Mike Pence's office. Mm-hmm. She is one of the numerous officials that were on the July 25th phone call. And, you know, to the attack of this, for that the president that we've heard from him before, calling her a never-Trumper, suggesting a political motive, there's no evidence of that. This is just a similar line of defense from the White House. He's used it against people like Bill Taylor, the top diplomat in Ukraine, and Alexander Vindman, who works over at the NSC.
Now, we'll talk about the defenses that we're hearing from Republicans. People like Jim Jordan of Ohio saying that the aid, the military aid, was ultimately delivered. So the ask for investigations in exchange for aid doesn't matter anymore if the aid was delivered. And then you have Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin defending the president by blaming the whistleblower. Here he is on NBC's Meet the Press.
This would have been far better off if we would have just taken care of this behind the scenes. We have two branches of government.
Okay.
Most people wanted to support Ukraine. We were trying to convince President Trump. And so the whole, I mean, again, I listened to the Washington Post article lionizing this whistleblower. Listen, if the whistleblower's goal is to improve our relationship with Ukraine, she utterly failed.
So a suggestion there that this would have been great if it was behind the curtains, nothing to see here. But are you hearing people maybe also on the Hill thinking the opposite, that without the whistleblower and without a democratically led House, the president might actually have been able to pull off what the Democrats are calling a bribe and not just threatening it?
Well, first, you know, to the attacks on the whistleblower, people should be clear that the laws protecting whistleblowers were laws enacted by Congress. So there's nothing that's happening there that wasn't without the consent and intent of Congress to be able to protect people who raise red flags about the workings inside the government and especially inside the intelligence community, which is particularly impenetrable. I think the crux of the Republican defense has been not to dispute that the events happened. They did. I don't think there's any real disagreement about that. Just that they're not impeachable offenses. And they point to, as you said, the fact that the aid flowed, the fact that investigations were never conditioned on that aid. We should note, though, that Democrats continue to point out that their metric for impeachment is not that there had to be necessarily an exchange, but just the ask alone, the pressure alone is something that could be considered attempted bribery and something that would be worthy of impeachment.
Yeah, we keep the phrase over and over. We keep hearing just because if you're breaking into the house and you get stopped while breaking into the house, you still are a burglar breaking into the house.
Right, just when someone leaves the keys under the mat, you go into their home.
Not your fault. I just want to ask about the people that the Republicans would like to hear from tomorrow afternoon. Kurt Volker, former special envoy to Ukraine, who worked with Gordon Sondland. Tim Morrison, another National Security Council aide who was on that July 25th call. He said he didn't hear anything unlawful in the call, but he also said he went right to John Bolton to let him know about it.
Well, two of the reasons that Republicans want to hear from these two is that, from their view, there are two voices that could provide testimony that could benefit the White House's case. You know, they're both respected voices inside both the State Department and the national security community. Volker is someone who is known for his commitment to the U.S. alliance with Ukraine. And Morrison, as you said, testified in his private deposition that has been his transcripts were released and we'll hear publicly that he did not see that there was any legal issues raised in the call to his ear. That is obviously something Republicans Republicans would like to have him say on television, and so the public can hear it too. But it's not necessarily up to Tim Morrison. I mean, the question of impeachment and whether they want to move forward with it is something squarely in the lane of Congress. The staffer's input on that may not be something that is particularly moving to Democrats.
NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis, thank you.
You're welcome.